Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Palace of Peace Talk Radio. I'm here today with Faith Parent Hendrickson, my co-host, and we've also got, by popular demand, Sean Landers, who's back in studio with us today, keeping it simple with Sean. And thank you very much for the absolutely wonderful response we had to our codependence to independence show last week. And we're back here for part two. And in today's show, we are going further into the subject with both Sean and with Faith. So we're going to be addressing a whole bunch of questions from our listeners. And we thank you very much for sending in these questions. Hi, Faith. Can you hear us? You there?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can hear you okay. And hi, Sean. Welcome to today. Can you hear us all?
Hi, glad I'm here.
Awesome. Great. So to start off with, just to give all our new listeners a little bit of breakdown on who Sean is and what Sean is. Everyone responded really well to having Sean as part of the show. And I was just so excited to have him here and introduced him as my husband and didn't go any further than that. So, I mean, what more do you need to know? He's my husband. He's awesome. So, Sean is basically, his journey on began approximately 8 years ago. And Sean is a unique blend of different energies and different kinds of life experiences. And basically, Sean has been involved in the business of helping people completely reshape their body and their attitude towards that. He's been a personal trainer for the past 15 years, and included in that has been approximately 12 years of one-on-one counseling with people, especially helping a number of people get through some really sticky divorces and other relationships challenges that they've had to deal with. So that's one of Sean's really strong fortes, is helping people work through those kinds of situations. On a spiritual level, Sean is the direct anchor for the energy of Petunia Griffo, who works through both Sean and I. So Sean channels him. He works very closely with Saint Germain and Archangel Michael. And Sean has, for the past couple of months, been working one-on-one with Petunia Griffo, going through some very intensive personal training himself with Petunia Griffo as a result. And the other thing, for those of you that understand astrology, another very talented aspect of Sean is that he is a triple Scorpio. He's a natural-born psychologist. And Sean is now also in the process, and has been over the past 7 years, of really helping people to understand what it means to merge body, mind, and spirit. So, Sean, thank you very much for joining us here today. And Faith, thank you very much for compiling all of the questions from our listeners. So the main theme that has come from our listeners, Sean, is that they're really wanting to get a deeper understanding regarding codependency and counterdependency, and, you know, what it means to live in either a codependent state or to live in a counterdependent state. And some people have found that they actually bounce between the two. They find themselves at one minute, you know, living in a counterdependent behaving counterdependently, and then at other times behaving codependently. So the one question that we have here is, you know, is there value in each of these dependent phases, and how do they actually become independent having bounced between these two aspects in their life?
All right. Yes, I'm in charge of simplicity, so I'm going to start with another story just to make it more simpler so people can understand the codependency and counterdependency and actually see the problem for what it is. Is going to start with, life is a journey that everybody understands, well, seems to understand. And a journey is something that has purpose, and that's why you're on a journey. And the destination that we all want to get to is happiness. Right, so we both drivers, travelers in our own life. But now you get two different types of drivers. You get the follow the others, and you get the one who don't ask directions. So codependence is the one that will always rather follow someone to a destination, and everybody's journey is different. You can't follow someone in a journey. So, and then your other one is not asking directions, and that is most probably because he's got a lot of miscommunication in direction and all that. Now he wants to follow his own thing and not listen to others. So that is important to know who you are, where you are, and to see what you're going to do with your journey. Now, the codependent, the one that follows always, as we know, don't trust the road, don't trust himself driving. So there is the prize. Always come back to yourself by knowing yourself and know where you are and what the problem is that you need to face. So the purpose of codependence and counterdependence is to show you where you are in life, in your journey. What kind of driver are you in your journey? And by just looking at that, then you look at, okay, what is the point? So what is the factors of what kind of driver you are? So the codependent will always follow. He's got weak boundaries. That's why you will follow. So sharpening up your boundaries, maybe listening more to yourself by seeing where you are in the situation, where is your destination, where you are now, and stop following others, and I'm going to follow my own journey is the best way to start. And that is by knowing yourself, starting to know where your problems are, why you are reacting like that, going back to childhood. Is it abandonment? Is it experience of pain? Is that because you followed one of your parents? Maybe your parents was a codependent, and that's where you've learned. So basically, just to see where you are in the map and why you are there. Is it because you've just followed your own directions because of the direction that was wrong for you and now you don't listen to others? Or is it because you just follow because you don't trust what you are doing, but you're in a journey, but you don't know what's the journey for, where is it going? So basically looking, what do you want in life? Where are you going? And that's how we can start working with yourself and drive your own vehicle. So I don't know if
I'll ask you something there, because you know, working in this field, you know, we're coming across people that are on different stages of their personal spiritual development, and also they're at different stages of getting to know themselves. So for someone who is maybe fresh on this path and they're only just starting to identify that, you know, codependency is actually not, you know, supporting their spiritual growth, or counterdependency is a very lonely place to be, because in actual fact their counterdependency has put them into a false sense of comfort, and now they're not allowing other people into their life. But let's go back to the codependent one. So a person who has been codependent for such a long time and now having to implement boundaries, having never really implemented boundaries before because perhaps they haven't felt strong enough to say no. Is there anything very simple, very basic that you could maybe suggest for people who are new on this path and still very nervous around setting boundaries because they've been codependent for so long? Now they've got you, you know, they're finding their power and having to stand up to people that maybe overstepped their boundaries or took advantage of them or used them. Is there anything simple you can suggest there?
The simplest thing that I can get to, because in your sat nav of your vehicle, the only destination you are going to follow is happiness. So you start with what makes you happy as a person, not being selfish or anything like that. What makes you truly happy? Is there anything that's standing in your way of getting to that happiness? And that's how you start incorporating a boundary for getting to that happiness, so that nothing stands in your way to be that true happiness. And if you are with a partner, it will surely understand when you start setting these boundaries, and it will start seeing that it's not selfish. It is something that's going to improve you as a person. So the simplest thing is to start with is what makes you happy, and start to think of what makes you happy. What is your passion? And that's where you start with yourself. Once you have those answers, you can follow happiness and you can start to set boundaries for happiness.
Okay. And also, you know, and I'm sure Faith, you would agree here as well, is you know, in the beginning, trying to set those boundaries and find out what makes us happy, especially if we're in a relationship and we're with someone who is used to us behaving a certain way. Now, suddenly, I found this new sort of journey and I wanted to empower myself and, you know, my partner's used to me behaving a certain way and now suddenly I'm saying no or I'm trying to set boundaries. But the partner is not ready for these changes or is uncomfortable with these changes because his or her comfort zone is changing now because the other party that was there doing everything for them is suddenly changing. So in terms of those initial very challenging at time processes that we go through because now change is being made, for you as well, when you first started on this journey, it was quite an adaptation to move from that world of being codependent or counterdependent into becoming independent. What would you then suggest to also our people that are early on this path, now starting to set boundaries, get to know themselves, that they understand that when things start getting tough, that doesn't mean it's wrong or they have to give up, that is the perseverance process. What simple way would you suggest that they deal with that as well?
We're talking relationships?
Anything. Relationships, it could be husband and wife, it could be mother and child, it could be a boss, it could be a work colleague, it could be a very good friend, so...
All right, normally what happens in the normal day, you will go through a process and you will find your answers. And only when you have your answers, then you come up, whack, bang, this is how I'm going to change. And that's sudden for the other person because the other person hasn't gone through a process like you have. What I find it most easiest is talk about your process. You do something and you're starting with a process, communicate about it. So the other person can see how you got to that answer. It's not just a sudden thing that happened that you decided today is the day. Because you did not just get that answer today. You got that answer through a process. And that process needs to be discussed with a partner and or with a friend or whoever. That's communication. Not just talking about how was your day and all that stuff. It's how I am as a person. How did I evolve as a person? How will I get to that answer? Because now you're going to become a teacher for the partner, friend, or whoever in the company. And that's going to be a much easier slope into the change. And maybe through all of this, the partner, company, friend, whoever, changes with you because he likes the process that you're going through. And it's not an unreasonable process. He will understand the process. He will understand why you are like that. If you change for the good, people will see the good. They won't see it as something disruptive. If it's truly good, then it's authentic.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Sean. Beth, is there anything you want to ask Sean at this point?
Well, I think, I guess, really kind of summarizing what this great conversation and clarification and I like the journey analogy. And the question that I have about, that I posted there about seeing somebody seeing themselves both codependent and counterdependent, wherever they are, even if now they're counter-dependent, it was a great question. Isn't there value in each of these dependent phases? And what I'm hearing, correct me if I'm wrong, is the answer is absolutely yes. And would you agree that, to me, understanding it as you explained it so simply is I could immediately see what was going on in the people that I was relating to, because I could not see that as well if I couldn't see it in myself first. So if you realize how you got to where you are, I feel that understanding that brings a value of expanding your own love of self, that forgiveness comes in and unconditional love can flow and what happens within yourself and learning how life works here, which is a value, I think, of these dependent phases, because humanity has been, up until this point, maxed out at like, what, an early teenager emotionally and spiritually how to handle things. This seems to me like we have to know this and have to have this awareness. I don't know if there's anything you could add about the value of each of these dependent phases with the comment I just made.
Yeah, it's of high value, and I think we must actually thank it. Thank codependent, thank counterdependent, because both of them are defense mechanisms. If it weren't for that codependent or that you will have crashed somewhere. Your body puts things in place to cover something that you're not looking at. So when codependent happens or when counterdependent happens, you see the defense that's put on. Now you can go and reason, why is that defense on? What happened for my body to put on that defense mechanism? And then you deal with that defense mechanism. And if you deal with it, you can take off that defense mechanism and go forward. What you want to be is balanced in the end of the day. And that's what it teaches you. Codependence, counterdependence is teaching you where is your imbalancement. And thank you for showing me that. It's not wrong. Counterdependence is not wrong. Codependence is not wrong. It's just you weren't aware of certain things, but now it made you aware of thinking with anger. So by wanting to be independent, that is balanced. That's where we want to reach for, is balance. But now we just don't want to be balanced because we live among each other and need to unite to make the world better. So that's where interdependence is so important, because now independent is a lonesome. Interdependent is when we start communicating with other people and we interact with other people without thinking my independence is going to go into the wrong.
So in other words, the shift... Once you understand these are defense mechanisms, you're able to regroup and check what your motivation is behind something, so you can find that balance and recognize it's an action done in support of a in support of handling the self, you know, and defending the self. And would you say, I can see people, somebody had written this, and I can really appreciate this, the counterdependence gives this amazing sense of calm, because you can go in and get that quiet time when you just shut everybody out. So how would you manage that? What would that look like to go from having that peaceful existence that you need so much so you can hear your messages and move forward, but have that foot out of the counter-dependence way of doing it?
We've all, in our journey, have certain things to master. Yes, counter-dependence helps you master or helps you to silence the mind so you can get your messages more clearly and everything. But in that counterdependence, you need to realize that you can't stay in a silent place to be silent all the time. You need to master silence. Silence is clarity. You need to master clarity. So going to independent and trying to get clarity in your mind through going everything, that's what you need to master. You don't need silence in a room, because that's what counterdependence helps you a lot, to get silence within yourself and there's no other people distracting you. But then how are you going to master clarity if you stay counter-dependent for that part, for that reason? You need to get out there to master clarity of your mind where there's distractions, but you still stay clear. If you're going to lock yourself away, there's a lot of lessons in life that life can't teach you.
Yeah.
And that is silence.
You know, and perhaps... I'm sorry to say something with faith. You know, what I also find is... what people, and this is something that Kitumi Egbuka has taught us, or taught me in, I mean, the 22 years of channeling him, that we need to master some of our greatest challenges within the environment that challenges that particular issue most. So it's like being the calm within the storm, being that silence, finding that silence within the midst of the chaos.
Okay.
Is that what it is?
Perfect. So now interdependence is one level up to challenge independence. So now you're independent. And so what challenges independence is interdependence. Because now you need to go and mingle with others that is like-minded and all that. And it's going to challenge your independence by staying strong in your boundaries, staying fair, staying balanced. And you will normally find, of course, remember, you attract different kind of people. When you're independent, you'll attract independent people. And you can talk about the same things because you have the same values. And that is independence.
I think one way to practically, I'm thinking about how to explain how to manage that, going from a counter-dependent to a more independent way, is in that quiet space, if you're getting your messages, you're finding that peace. And really, it's an opportunity to take that space when you're feeling it and practicing it throughout the day. And if you can hold that at various times of the day, then you can expand and step out even more fully and expand that environment. I think, like anything, it's real life. You have to do things when you can, and as Kutumi Agrippa says, face your fear and do it anyway. You're right. I remember you talking about this over the years, Michelle, about you being trained to handle these things in this way, and understanding that once you know yourself, then you can feel more at peace and hold it longer, and you'll feel that independence more. And it's like anything, you know, it takes time and applying patience and diligence, you know, and just not giving up and giving it a try. It's how we're building this new world, isn't it? That's why interdependence is so important. It's being your unique individual self, as we've been talking about all year in this show, and the importance of being individuated as people. Then you're able to co-create with the higher aspects of yourself, the higher realms, and then do so with like-minded people and feeling supported and making change with like-minded people. And that's a great example of interdependence. Would you agree?
It's perfect, and it's, if we can go back to the journey, it's far nicer taking a journey somewhere with like-minded people than just yourself, where you can stop at pit stops and you can have a chat and everything, and it's a nice group, it's a nice environment, and you're going to the same destination. It's far better than just you sitting in your car and you're going to happiness.
And you know what, Faith, just to also mention something that we spoke about yesterday, and I mean not yesterday, in our last show, and Sean left at least before we could, so he didn't hear about it, but one of the things that I think is very important for people to consider, and you know, how do we get to know ourselves? Very often we get to know ourselves through the people that enter our lives, to become reflections of what it is that we are within ourselves, what we can see and what we can't see. And like I mentioned, you know, when I finished my process of connecting with myself to as far as I could, is when Sean entered my life. So it was enter Sean, so that, you know, both Sean and I could learn more about ourselves. So the people that enter our lives, when we're coming into any kind of independent or interdependent relationship or friendship or whatever it is, to recognize that when we start entering interdependent relationships, we are still connecting with people who are reflecting what we are on the inside. So if we are doing so much work on ourselves, becoming more transparent in terms of transparenting ourselves, getting through issues, building a deeper sense of self-love, self-worth, integrity, honesty, clarity. These are the kinds of people that we are going to be attracted to and attract into our space, which then enables these higher vibrational interdependent relationships to manifest in our lives. So, you know, keeping ourselves isolated doesn't necessarily keep us safe. I would say to a certain degree, it actually inhibits the journey. So that's my take on it in terms of growing with the flow and connecting with like-minded people. I don't know how you feel about that, Sean, but
that's part of fear. Part of fear that you're never gonna tackle. There's a part of fear that you're gonna put aside by being a counter
dependent.
So it's not going out there to face certain fears, because the reason why you come to dependent is for certain fears that you are there.
The defense mechanism you're talking about.
That's the defense mechanism. So you are there because of fear and because of anger. So maybe that's why jumping from codependent to counterdependent is jumping from that with anger. If you jump from codependent with a certain feeling like anger, you're going to land in counterdependent.
You're going to land where?
I'm done with this, and I'm done with this part, and I'm done doing this, but this is now all anger, right? So now you're using the energy of anger to move from codependent and you will land in counterdependent. Because now the anger is going to build high walls that no one can harm you anymore, and you, your own person, and you are want to be independent. But you want
and
to be independent.
And isn't that the truth of human nature overall?
Yes. Maybe I must replace independent with authentic.
Authentic
is independent.
Yes.
Okay, a lot of people think, so if you are in your own home, you've got high walls and that kind of stuff, are you truly authentic?
Or are you just hiding?
Or are you just hiding?
Okay.
So maybe we need to put, independence is authentic. And when you're authentic, you will attract authentic people.
And Sean, can I just quickly put in something here? Sorry, Faye. If people also need to be very, very honest and open with themselves when it comes to this level of questioning, because someone can say, but I am my authentic self. But, you know, is being authentic, you know, being behaving in a negative way? Because there's a fine line between, you know, I'm being my authentic self and using it as an excuse for destructive behavior or, you know, to evade certain aspects of life. Or I'm my authentic self, and it is that true authentic aspect. So this is where the challenge comes in for people as well, don't you think, Faith and Sean, when people have to be really honest with themselves, because it is easy to say, okay, well, I really am my authentic self. You know, I have been codependent and I have been counterdependent, but right now I'm really my authentic self, and I don't want to have the world, drama of the world involved in my space and upsetting my vibe and all sorts of stuff like that. So
That was actually exactly what I was going to... Oh, I'm so sorry, Michelle.
Sorry, Faith, it's a delay here. Sorry, carry on, say that.
That was exactly what I was going to ask. That was my next question, is somebody wrote, how do I objectively analyze where I am versus where I want to be?
Well, first find out where you want to be. If you don't know where you want to be, then what are you going to do? You first need to find out what I want to be. Who do I want to be? That's why I say the easiest way is to look for that answer is to look what brings you happiness. And that's how you're going to start finding who are you. By starting to look at what brings you happiness. And objectively is taking yourself out. By taking yourself out and really look at what you want and what you want to be and where you want to go, you can't explain it more.
So if somebody, I think maybe behind that question could be, what if I'm happy being on that spectrum of codependent and counterdependent, and I think I'm being independent or authentic? How do I stop myself and say, wait a minute, that's not the truth of things. I think I'm happy, and that's really...
If you have a way of thinking I'm happy with where I am, you're not going to think of how can I better my life. It's saying I'm positive but I'm negative. You're not going to get to that state of mind. If you are happy in your life and that, then you're happy in your life. Being a codependent, counterdependent, it just means you do not want to see. You're in a sort of a denial, and all fine with it. It's your journey. It's not. We are on our own journeys. I'm a fellow traveler helping out. I'm not a travel agent. So I'm a fellow traveler giving advice on what helped me in my journey. So
would
and
you?
If you don't want to go on that group, that's not a my problem.
Would you?
Sure, dude.
So using the analogy, it's really great for one of the other questions that I had here, is would you say that we all begin as codependent here as infants?
Yes, of course. Otherwise, how are you going to learn things? You start off with stuff that you've got from your parents and all that. No one starts fresh. Sorry. That's my problem.
I didn't hear you.
we all start off with issues, problems, and that kind of stuff, but we need that. How are we going to better ourselves? How are we going to get to be a true warrior of our lives if we are not set or give obstacles or test what we are?
Indeed.
So be glad for your obstacle. Be glad for where you started with.
So how does, because I know we're going to lose you in a few minutes that you'll have to go. Is it all right if I go to the next question, Michelle?
Yes, go for it, Pat.
How does all of this, we tried to touch upon it last time, but there was so much information. You know, at one point I mentioned that we can't access our spirituality without going through that emotional doorway. So how does this knowledge relate to one's spiritual growth?
The knowledge of counterdependency and codependency?
Yes, and the importance of being authentic and or independent, as we said before.
Well, I think everything starts with balance. And codependency and counterdependency tells you where you are with balance in your life.
Faith, were you asking how it becomes a spiritual, how it is part of the spiritual aspect there?
Yes, like connecting the dots to why this would be part of my spirituality.
Okay, so look, in terms of spirituality, I think it's also important to define, first of all, what does spirituality mean for each person individually. If I take it back to just looking at the process of wanting to better myself, I realize I'm a codependent, I'm wanting to become independent. How does that become a spiritual practice in my life? Well, some people might not see working on yourself on a daily basis, being aware, being objective, observing your own behavior and reactions on a day-to-day basis as being a spiritual process. They may see it as more of a psychological process or more of a mental process in terms of trying to direct their life energy or their life force in a direction that enhances their life. So I would say let's look at all, you know, hundreds of thousands of people out there who are working with a life coach and doing the things that you and I would consider a daily spiritual practice, but for them it's just a daily process that their life coach has told them to do in order to get their shit together and get things back on track again. So I'm not too sure exactly how to answer that question in that sense because, you know, for me, my life is my spiritual practice. Everything that I do in my life and my work, it's one capsule of energy. It's not anything separate. So have I understood you correctly, Faith?
Yes, I think when people ask, how does this relate to my spiritual growth, I feel that we've lost, as you say, the plot, or I think Katumi Agrippa says that, we forgot that we came here as spiritual beings in human form to grow spiritually through life experience.
Yes.
And if we don't understand that we need to reflect and observe the journey here as a travel agent of our own, I like that so much, of our own current lifetime, which is the most important, is this lifetime, then are we really honoring our time here? And I feel understanding this and the relief of understanding you don't have to be a victim anymore of anything in your life, regardless of who you are, is one of the most freeing parts of the journey. And being on Earth at this time, going through this massive transformation for humanity, and again, those going through it when it's their time, is an extremely exciting time. And it's not easy being leaders and looking around and seeing what most people are not doing or doing or whatever the comparison is you want it to be. But I think being mindful of getting out of the God, if I could just get through this one situation, my life would be easier. You know, I remember living like that. I'm sure everyone can relate to that. If this one thing would go away, then I could live my life. Live your life how? Stuck in a realm of, you know, victim consciousness, people in chaos, no one is authentic, people aren't really supporting each other, we're in survival mode, blah, blah, blah. And really understanding that this is spiritual growth, I think it's good to bring that up. Do you have anything to add or comments or wisecracks to that?
I'm going to let Sean handle that one.
I think what we can change in that sentence is, if I start changing that thing, I am living my life. Instead of, if I can just change the thing, I can start living my life. By changing that thing, you are living your life.
So are you saying, stop saying, if only this,
because now you set yourself up for almost a disappointment. You set yourself up by thinking, if I change this one thing, now I can start living better. But sorry to say, there's another obstacle after that, and another after that,
yes.
And another after that, because that is life. That's a journey. Everything, every day has a purpose. So by thinking, I'm just over the seal, no, you can't. How can you see the future of your journey? By thinking and knowing that when I work with the situation at this moment, at the time, I am living. If I do
and
not
I
deal
think,
with it and I put it under the carpet, you're not living.
And I think that's how we have gotten stuck in many lifetimes and years of seeing fortune tellers instead of owning our lives and realizing that this is spiritual growth and it's we're growing up.
Yes, and another word, stuck, I think we must replace that with comfort zone. Because some people that's in a comfort zone think they're moving forward. They, of course, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's moving forward, life's moving forward, and I'm comfortable. Comfort is stuck.
And sometimes people can find that the discomfort of their comfort zone has become their identity, and because it's something they experience day in and day out, it actually takes more effort to get out of that discomfort than it is to actually stay in the uncomfortable situation. So stay in the bad relationship just because better the devil you know than you don't know, than actually making the effort to go through the changes of ending that relationship and creating something better for yourself.
So basically what you want to do, you want to keep on going into uncomfortable situations and get comfortable with that. Being comfortable in taking on life's challenges. That's the comfort zone you want to be in.
Yes, because that then, you know, eliminates so many levels of what ifs and but wait and but, you know, I don't know if I can do this or I don't know if I can do that because people are afraid of making the changes if they're settling for staying in a really terrible situation. Whereas if they just have the courage to make those changes and change the situation, they'll be better off. So, that's basically what you
yes.
say. Thank you, Sean. You said it so simply. Okay, so Sean, it's almost time to wrap up for you. So, in closing, your closing message to our listeners with regards to codependency and independency, and you know why it's so important to become independent. Is there anything you would like to leave our listeners with? And we will have you back here again with some other subjects, but for now, leave them with this.
I think I made it pretty simple, and it's to sum it all up again. Yes, follow happiness, which is sat nav on happiness. And as a fellow traveler, travel light. you only have a backpack. You don't pack the whole thing in, and that's going to make your traveling, your journey, very hard. So travel light, put your sat nav on happy, and follow that. And that's simple.
Thank you, Sean. Anything else you would like to quickly bang Sean's brain about before he has to leave us, Faith? You've got 5 minutes.
No, I think that, there was just to be clear, there was one comment made about assuming that women were always codependent, men always counterdependent, and maybe looking at it as, and I believe you said this too, correct me if I'm wrong, as the energy of masculine and feminine, which you did say. Is there anything, like, if you were just to summarize what you mean by that, before you go, and in summary, as it relates to how this plays out in the real world?
Well, the masculine is taking action. So taking action and in charge of your action. But remember, with taking action, you can also be codependent by having this person in your life so that you can feel enhanced and all that. So having to control this person to make you feel better about yourself is also a codependence.
Very well said.
So it's not necessarily the masculine and all that, but going through to counterdependent, you got more in touch with your masculine power and when to counterdependent. And me, myself, I am going to do it. I'm in charge, masculine power, but now it's a little bit too much. All right, so when it's in the feminine side, it's more about the emotional that and not taking action, not setting boundaries, not want to find out who I am, what I want, I'd rather follow or be needy, that kind of stuff. So just it's not meaning a man and a woman. It's more about the energy. So the man can have that energy, but lay still in codependence path.
And I think for most of us, we see it play out in our parents in that fashion, which is an example.
Well, that's where we got it from, and that's why you mustn't be angry for if you're in a situation like that. Just be glad that you see it. And
yep. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. Right, thank you so much, Sean. We really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today and take this whole discussion to another level. And we look forward to having you in studio again with some other very interesting topics. If any of you would like to get hold of Sean is available for one-on-one sessions for anyone who is needing some support or very simple guidance in terms of getting to the core of whatever your issue may be, not just codependence and counterdependence. You can get hold of Sean on his email address, Sean, which is S for Sugar, EANFornelli .urbandragon, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find Sean on Facebook. His timeline is Sean Henry Manders. Otherwise, you could also go and look at the Evolved Man Project, which is the project that Sean is heading up for Palace of Peace. It is in support of all the evolved and awakening men in our world. And Sean is also provides support to women who are needing assistance in better understanding how to communicate with their husbands and sons, or you know, male co-workers or male bosses or men in general, and how to communicate with them in such a way that you are heard and that the men actually hear you. So if there's anything else you would like to find out from Sean regarding these kinds of things, as we said, please email him, and you can find him on Facebook as well. So thank you very much for that. And so thanks. Here we are. Back to discussing just between the two of us. Thank you, Sean, for that very simple approach on everything. And one of the things I just want to add is, which I think is very important, having discussed this whole process around independence and interdependence, there are most certainly people on our planet who are absolutely wired to live on their own. They are absolutely happy being in that space, which is when Sean was saying, you know, if you are happy in that space, you are not generally going to be asking the question, how can I improve my life, or what can I do to better myself, or am I maybe, you know, in a counterdependent relationship with myself and not wanting to get out there. So I would just like to re-mention that fact that we are referring specifically to counter-dependent situations where the person has isolated themselves as a result of very painful experiences, and that counter-dependent space has become a defense mechanism. It's become the uncomfortable comfort zone. These are the kinds of situations that we are referring to. The other thing I'd also like to just quickly mention here Faith, now that we've got the time to go into it, we're trying to get Sean to be able to share with us as much as he could before he had to leave. And that is, you know, when it comes to looking at our life experiences, it's vital to look at what it is that we are going through from a point of compassion for one another. And we spoke about this briefly last week. So I'd just like to repeat that whatever it is that we are looking at here, be it codependent or independent or counterdependent, that we're looking at it from a point of compassion, humility, and love. And really, what Faith and Sean and I are doing here is sharing information with you based on our personal experiences, based on field experiences, based on situations that we have had to come through ourselves, and also the priceless experience that we've gained in mastering our own situations, as well as in helping other people do the same. So one of the things I find extremely valuable, and the thing that I value in all people who are working in helping us bring Mother Earth and all her inhabitants to a state of peace, is that we're coming from a place not so much of qualifications, academic qualifications and theoretic studies and things like that, because very often we can have all the head knowledge, but when it comes to the actual life experience, with that missing, there is a large chunk of support that is also missing when it comes to working with people. But the three of us are sharing with you information. This is not the cure-all for everything. It might work for you. It might not work for you. What we are sharing here has already worked for hundreds of thousands of people across the planet, because these are processes that we have connected with as a global community, working together in rising above our fear, our suffering, our pain, etc. So, Faith, we were talking about this, you know, before we started the show, how important it is for people to understand that, you know, academic qualifications are not always the only thing that is required in order to get to the core of an issue or help change a person's, you know, face from downturned lips to upturned lips with sparkly, shiny sprinkles in their eyes, feeling happy again, you know. That's the kind of stuff you cannot learn in a classroom or get out of a book. So I just wanted to really clarify that first, because that is something I have found to be absolutely 100% true on my path and in my life.
Amen. Well said.
Thank you, Faith.
I think too that we have to go back to codependency and the reasons why we may stay there. It's been my experience through the teachings and observation of my own life and helping others that because of other people and where they are on their journey, they need to feel better about their environment and how we play a role in that. So we end up shortchanging ourselves by not being our full authentic self, and that way we can't be independent. So going back to the spirituality of all of this, you came in with a certain list of things to do, which are through experiences that mostly through situations that have manifested in relationships, and it's noted through your blueprint or your horoscope when you took your first breath here. And you came in with certain talents. Now, oftentimes people are uncomfortable with who they are, so if you don't follow a mode of operation or way of life or behavior that makes someone else that's important in your life happy, or maybe somebody you're very dependent upon, you start to shift who you are and hold yourself back. And understanding that is a very important part of the journey as you're looking at your map. So start realizing if you're doing things to make others happy, that's a great indication of you're not allowing yourself to stretch to be the person your soul wants to experience here on Earth. Does that make sense what I'm trying to explain, Michelle?
Absolutely, Faith. And I think, you know, maybe that's the question that, you know, we need to ask ourselves is, you know, at what cost to me is this going to be? And, you know, if the cost is absolute happiness and, you know, unconditional love and generosity, well, then hell bells, go for it. Give it all. But, I mean, if you are finding yourself sacrificing your identity, sacrificing self-respect, self-worth, and maybe your own, you know, your own sense of physical security or even your health, then there's most definitely a red flag that is going to try and catch your attention to let you know that this more than likely needs to change. Is that what you were trying to say, Faith?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And people do it.
Absolutely. You know, being in a codependent relationship, which is what I was trying, which is what I was asking Sean earlier on, you know, is when you realize, wake up and go, oh my goodness, I am in a codependent relationship. What do I do then? I find, you know, the codependent space is probably a little bit more difficult to step out of than a counterdependent space, because in that counterdependent space, you've already stepped into that place where you have regained a certain amount of power, whether it's in a healthy or unhealthy fashion. But it is a little easier to step out of counterdependency and understand the nature of independency and interdependency than probably being in a state of codependence. Because if a child is raised in a space where they are taking care of a parent who is dysfunctional, which then becomes a codependent relationship where that child is, you know, constantly sacrificing their own, you know, their own happiness, their own sense of self, their own emotional well-being, because their instinct is to protect their parents, to love them, to nurture them. I mean, the instincts that are present within us from as young as, you know, little children is amazing, that instinct to want to nurture and protect what it is that we love. So, you know, the amount of times you have a child actually defending and protecting an abusive parent is also astounding at times. So the actual psychological intricacies that lead to codependency is something that is really vast. And, you know, there I would most certainly say if you're dealing with situations where there is severe codependency, then that is something where you do need a trained psychologist or psychiatrist to be involved, because this is something that is really, really serious. But if we're dealing with a situation where you are relatively got a handle on what's actually happening in life, then this is something that you could more than likely do. I'm going to use this very loosely in a self-help situation. Or you have realized, my goodness, you know, this is a codependent relationship. And it's not necessarily with a husband or wife. You know, this could be a codependent relationship with a sibling, with a very good friend, with a boss, you know. And, you know, let's use the example of a coworker or a boss or a very good friend basically just, you know, using you as, you know, as a runaround girl or boy, and, you know, do this for me and fix this for me and sort this out for me. And, you know, that is, I think, perhaps an easier situation to deal with in terms of stepping up, setting boundaries, saying no more. So I want to make it very clear that if there is a very, very volatile situation or there is abuse involved of any kind, that there needs to be a trained professional who is assisting in this kind of situation. So, you know, codependence is something a little bit more challenging when you are new, when this is something really fresh, and there hasn't been enough to push the person over the edge to kind of like throw their arms up in the air and I've had enough of this and kind of like pick up everything and, you know, storm out the door and slam that door, never to be seen again. So I would like to, you know, reach out to those, to our listeners who are finding themselves in that codependent situation where it is that realization that it's time to step up now and step out. And like Sean said, you know, you every day you are in your life. So every day is about living your life. It's not about, you know, life starting after the next obstacle or after the next holiday or after the next, you know, season has passed, or when I have more money, or when I'm thinner, or when I'm older, or when my children are out the house. I think that putting off is something that needs to really, really come to an end, Faith, because as you know, time is marching on. There are so many changes that we're dealing with on a planetary scale that's affecting the entire emotional and mental and spiritual balance of every human being on the planet. And if we are going to remain attached to putting everything off and waiting until tomorrow, or, you know, constantly pining for the grass on the other side because it's greener, I generally always say the only reason why the grass is greener on the other side is because there's more manure over there. So that's kind of one way of looking at it and going, oh, what are you doing? But I think that the one thing I would really like to make clear to people is stop putting things off. Stop waiting until a better day or a better season or until you've got something more or less or whatever it may be before you start living your life. And, you know, just Sean put it so simply in that sense, you know, you're either living your life or you're not. And So for me, I think that's a vitally important thing for our listeners to look at. If they're finding themselves in this codependent situation, acknowledge it and start making the changes now. If it is a really, really dire situation, then reach out to the professionals. Get hold of someone who can perhaps put you in touch with people who can provide legal support if you need it, or safe houses if you need it, or you know, children, child protection, whatever it may be. It doesn't mean to say because it is you know, something so intensive that it cannot be changed. That's I think that's very important as far as I'm concerned now with these changes, Faith.
I agree.
Okay.
Yep, I absolutely agree with you.
I thought I lost you.
I'm thinking about all that we're saying, and I'm seeing it play out, you know, in my own world here. I'm back home in North Carolina till this Saturday, and being back in the community. There's been ongoing problems here for years with something called a homeowners association. Is that something? I can't remember if you have that there in South Africa.
Yes, we do.
And people have really had it with the dictatorship. It's gotten to a point where we can't even put a flower pot outside in the front yard without the permission of the homeowners association.
Oh, you know, and I just think that is such a load of BS. And, you know, with Faith, just with you saying that, suddenly I thought to myself, you know what, this is so much bigger than just looking at ourselves individually in terms of our own codependency or counterdependency, and expand that globally, because in actual fact, we need to look at ourselves as groups of citizens. You know, are groups behaving, you know, is it a codependent nation? Is it a counterdependent nation? How are the governments treating people? So are the governments treating people and bullying them around because, you know, this is how their behavior looks? So in actual fact, it can be taken on absolutely every level across the board, and it applies to everything. And, you know, this constant having to ask permission for those kinds of things, I think, is an absolute load of, well.
Well, and people aren't. And people aren't, of course. And it's based on fear because one person's property, a retiree, enjoys making things and putting them in his yard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and there's a fear of property values being affected by what homeowners are doing. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because earlier I was explaining about being independent and being interdependent. It's what we're creating as communities. Understanding this simple method that Sean had mapped out for us last show has been very helpful in being the observer to understand what's going on, because as with a doctor or anything you're doing, you have to get to the core of something so that you can make amends or whatever it is that you would like it to be on a higher level. And I think that it's been very effective for me because I keep being asked to be on this board, and I, you know, make it very clear that I would bring ways that are not in support of your views. And if you're interested and there's room for me here, that's fine, but I don't bulldoze my way there. There are emails that are very, you know, negative and name-calling and blah, blah, blah. And these are the people who want to bring the change that are doing it. So I said, you can't build a supportive community by being in the same behavior you wish to see change. And, you know, and using humor and... You know, I said to please remove me from the emails if this will continue, because as I just said, you can't build a supportive community. And I put WTF, what the faith, you know. You can, and these are ways, the reason I'm bringing this up is because you're going to start to see more and more as you're more open to knowing yourself, you'll really change. And it will very, very, it will help you more than you know to shift you from that codependency and counterdependency. There's a part of you that will start to kick in, and you will be so detached from the emotion of it, you will feel your own proper power because it's love-based, and the compassion and the understanding flows in a way that I cannot explain. And you don't buy into those things, and that way you're not stoking those fires. It reminds me of the quote that Mother Teresa would say, don't invite me to your anti-war meetings, but I'll come to your peace meetings. It's more than just, you know, semantics. There's a definite energy and a definite feeding of an energy in that comment. So I don't know if this seems a little out there to you that I bring this up, but it's been something I've been chewing on about talking about on the show for a few weeks now, because our listeners are varied. It's really exciting, and it's the same with my newsletter distribution list, is we've got people in all different areas of their journey, and these things are very real and affecting people. They come home from work and get these awful letters that are written so disrespectfully. It's like respect is gone. There's no, oh my gosh, I see you haven't mowed your lawn in 3 weeks. Do you need some help? You know, there's no, it's just we're giving the reins to fear long enough. It's now time to just change how we handle things, how we approach things, and not be so afraid of lack that if somebody does something differently, your property values are going to go down. And people want to do more sustainable life choices by using solar panels and, you know, permaculture gardening or whatever those things are. So I don't know if you have anything you'd like to add to that or...
But, you know, the thing that we all face is that we are now standing at a place in time, especially in the history of our planet, on a spiritual level, economic level, political level, financial level. It's all there. I mean, absolutely everything is under scrutiny. Our education system, our health system, our food system, our, you know, how it is that money comes and goes. And people are all reacting to all of these challenges, the stress, the pressure, the intensity, because it is like this fear energy has built up to such an extent that it's become the dominating energy, the dominating force of consciousness driving the collective. And if we are going to allow ourselves to be pulled into the wake of that negativity, then we might as well just stop what we're doing right now and just fall prey, fall back into that old lifestyle. So what happens, what I've seen is those of us who are aware, and this is self-aware, it's not just spiritually aware, because the level of awareness that we are dealing with now is self-awareness. It's a self-awareness deeper than we could ever imagine, because this level of self-awareness is revealing to us all the levels of healing that is required in every aspect of our life. We can see clearly that absolutely everything on this planet needs to change. And it's as a result of people enforcing their laws, enforcing their beliefs, etc., that is kind of like cornered humanity into this cage or this pen, like a bunch of sheep or pigs, as to how things have to be. And it is, we are coming to the final stage of anchoring the Aquarian age on Earth. And Aquarius is about, it's the rebellion. It is unprecedented change. But I believe that, you know, it's not about us rebelling and just, you know, breaking the mold. It's about us being rebels with a cause and saying, well, this is the reality we have chosen for ourselves. We have every right to implement this and just go ahead and do it. Because if we are going to keep on buying into the fear and buying into these very rigid systems, where is the change going to come? And the thing is, people must also understand that, and I think this is going out to everyone out there who is a rebel with the cause, and I say that with absolute love. It's not about being antagonistic, or it's about saying no to the things that have caused the destruction, saying no to everything that has led to our world and humanity being as it is, and saying, that doesn't work for me anymore. I'm doing something different, and this is what it looks like. And in doing that, it's going to create a system of safety and a system of comfort within society eventually, because all of these, the old system is crumbling. We need to set new systems in place in order to replace the old. And because it is majority of Earth's population still wrapped up in that old world, I would like to really say to all the aware people, because we are a minority, doesn't mean to say that we need to accept the majority rule or the majority rule, the majority law. It's about being true to what is right, to what is supportive and healing of Mother Earth, and changing things to something that is working in conjunction with bringing the highest good and highest planes of peace and tranquility and harmony back to the earth. So there personally, I must also say, Faith, you know, I stand behind the people that will go ahead and still put in their garden whatever it is that they've made. They're growing their own vegetable gardens. They've got their solar panels out and up there. I absolutely support that. So maybe I'm not the right person to ask that question, because I'm always going to side with the people that are doing the things differently, that are going against the grain of what's led to the destruction.
Well, and so, I think it's important that we do these things. It's just how we do them. I accidentally found this website called The Outlaw Gardener. you see this picture of her peeking around a tree. You just see this face, like, partially coming out of this tree, and she's about breaking rules. And, you know, it's a very nicely done way of gardening when the homeowners association says no. And it reminds you of the expression, the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek is not being weak. It's when
exactly.
is kindness and, you know, positive attitude and just teaching and leading by example weak. Boy, have we lost the plot using that line again. But I just thought it was so funny. And I said, let's use what, you know, it's the approach. Because remember, these people are on the board because there are people who like it this way. And so we have to remember that as we bring the change and we be independent. You don't slip into being counter-dependent.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
it's
exactly.
easy to do.
And I mean, exactly, Faith. And, what I wanted to also say is, you know, you're absolutely right. When you're getting nasty emails, the way people talk to each other is because it's been allowed. It's become the way people speak to each other and the way that people relate to each other. And in general, people are not accustomed to someone saying, this is actually not the way I see it, but I appreciate your opinion, and you have every right to feel the way you feel, but in actual fact, I disagree because this is how I feel, but it doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean I'm wrong. We just have a difference of opinions. How about we find a way that it actually supports both of us, that we can acknowledge each other's opinions and be happy with each other's choices? People don't know how to deal with that. And
yeah,
this is in actual fact where interdependence is becoming such an important part of Mother Earth's entire healing, where people are coming together in communities. And I know of one community in actual fact. It's in New Zealand. It's in actual fact one of our guardians, Nicholas Minton. They have an incredible community down in New Zealand, and they help each other build the homes together. They do absolutely everything together. But one of the things they also do is, I can't remember the exact wording that it's called, but it's teaching everyone in the community to communicate with each other without using any kind of aggression or violence or anything like that. And more of this is already springing up in all of these interdependent communities where people are coming together and living as independent, well-balanced, self-aware partnerships, families, or as an individual, and coming together to grow these new communities. And I think, you know, this is probably where a lot of the new consciousness is going to emerge. One of these days we'll be having another guest on our show. I spoke to you about it already, Faith. A lady who's actually part of this community, and she is working in all the new ways of educating children who are homeschooled, who are not being put into the education system within one of these interdependent communities. So it's happening out there. People are making it happen. And I think it's only a matter of time, Faith, before these kinds of communities gain their strength in numbers, and then the tables are going to turn. And we just need to stay true to what's true, do whatever it is that we can to help the truth become the dominating energy, as opposed to, you know, what we are being dominated by now. And that is where interdependence becomes another source of love and energy and connection and light, where we are connecting with our fellow travelers, where we are totally aware of what it means to be self-aware. We respect one another's boundaries. We understand that we are different kinds of people who have chosen to live in a similar fashion, but you still have your likes and dislikes, and you've got your way of doing things. And on a Sunday, you don't want anyone near your garden because that's the day you lie in the sun in your birthday suit and you soak up the sun and you worship the Beatles or whatever it may be. And that's A-okay. You know, loving and accepting each other for what we are in truth. It's not about having to live in a hostile environment and be angry together and be judgmental together and talk about everybody else's life and how bad everyone is just because we feel so bad about ourselves and we don't want to go there, so I'm going to talk about how so-and-so is stepping up in their life. And, oh, did you hear what this one did? And, oh, my God, did you hear who's cheating on who now? I mean, really, you know, so this is the kind of consciousness and the kind of behavior that we as aware people have personally chosen to move away from. And when you're moving out of your codependent and counterdependent lifestyles, one of the things you naturally do, like you said, Faith, is you don't want to mix with people who are like that anymore, not because you are judging them, but because it just feels so uncomfortable in your body. It doesn't resonate with you anymore. You don't want to be around people who are constantly complaining about how bad their life is, or about how bad their job is, or their relationship. It's okay, so what are you doing about it? So that is like a natural side effect, or not really a side effect in a bad sense. It's like a natural bonus.
Fringe benefit.
there we go. That's it. Fringe benefit. When you start doing this, you naturally move away from those kinds of environments, those kinds of people, which is why change. It's why the kinds of things that you were attracted to in the past no longer grip you like they used to. So it's there's so many dimensions to what's actually happening here, Faith, in terms of this whole codependence, counterdependence, authentic self, interdependence thing, because when we get to interdependence, that means we are functioning holistically, coming from a point of inner balance, of self-awareness. And if we happen to be having a bad day or a bad week, we have enough self-awareness in place not to project it onto the rest of the community or not take it out on everyone else. And if we happen to slip up and maybe, you know, bark at someone or snap at someone, there is still that self-love and that self-respect and the love of our fellow human to go to them an hour later or whatever it is and go, you know what, buddy, I'm really sorry, but, you know, it wasn't my best foot, but you know what, I didn't mean it, and you know, hugs and kisses and high fives and whatever it may be, and we move on from there. And that is another part of, you know, interdependence. It's not wallowing in whatever went wrong. It's like, okay, that was the problem, I'm sorry, I accept your apology, no problem, and we move on and we get going. And that for me is such a liberating and such a good feeling when you don't have to sit in guilt or shame because you said something wrong or you made someone feel bad. You both agree that it's over and done with and you carry on as if it never happened.
Yes, I love that. I think, too, that you get to a point where you realize that when you are criticizing, you've done the work enough to know that it is a projection, and what you're saying
exactly
is letting people really see how you think about yourself. And, you know, that's kind of like, geez, we're talking about airing your dirty laundry. That's really a neat way to look at it, in effect. But what I found to be true more often than not is when you take a stance like that, people respond and are glad someone took the lead and said, let's mm-hmm. stop this behavior. And they jump on board and feel really good and want to be a part of things. It's mm-hmm. just that I think we've grown accustomed to people not doing it. So I want to encourage people to kindly and gently be yourself. Like, I use humor because I like that. I like to laugh. So I'll maybe take an uncomfortable moment and bring a little humor to it, and, you know, so people don't feel so attacked. Like in my email, I said, you know, it's with great respect. It was a long thread, and I just said, with utmost respect for everyone here, if the name calling and negative comments are going to continue, just remove me from the email distribution list. You know, and people aren't used to that, you know, and then saying, I thought we were trying to build a supportive community, WTF, what the face, with a big smiley face, you know, whatever way works for you. And it feels really good to be yourself. And if people don't like it, it's okay. It's okay that not everybody's going to like you. It's the real world. It's just the way it is. And it doesn't matter. And the more you do these things, the more you're able to stand in your real, true power as a spiritual being in human form. We're very accustomed to giving our power away here on Earth. And those times are changing, and it's not meant in an abuse of power, but proper love-based power, giving people the space to be who they are, and not being so concerned about false levels of, you know, being a victim of someone else's choices.
Exactly, Faith, and you know, that also brings us back to, you know, what we've been talking about in the last two shows, where we're breaking out of victim consciousness once and for all. And you know, when we recognize where it is that we have been a victim, that is when we can automatically choose, or you know, make that choice there and then, that I'm a victim once, and after that I'm a volunteer. And I mean, that's quite an awesome saying. Forgive me, I don't know who said it first, but the thing is, Faith, what I have found, I mean, I have been on this path, my personal spiritual journey, for 26 years, but I've been channeling full-time, working in this field professionally full-time for 22 years, and I have been working on myself for 22 years, and it doesn't end, because there are so many dimensions to ourselves. But the one thing that I can say for sure, that you don't ever really stop being absolutely honest with yourself when you are wanting to be completely aware of every dimension of yourself. Basically, what I eventually did was decided that if this lifetime is the consequences or the outcome of what I've done in previous lifetimes, then I am sorting all of that out now. And I am also effectively working to making sure that my next life is going to involve a completely different reality. And that has really inspired me to keep myself in check, where when something happens, it ignites a bad feeling inside of me, to own what that is. And this is where I think moving from a counter-dependent relationship is perhaps a little bit more difficult at times, because when I stepped out of my counter-dependency and started finding a new authentic self, I needed to put my pride in my pocket so many times. And I'm speaking of false pride. I'm not speaking of true pride, where I needed to allow people in to help me. I needed to work through some very difficult things, which resulted in me flushing out a lot of people in my life that were betraying me, that I couldn't trust, that were making empty promises. But whilst doing that, I needed to look at how it was that I was betraying myself, how I was making empty promises to myself, how it was that I was not showing up to things for me that were important for me. And having gotten to that point of trust in myself, being true to myself, knowing that I will not betray my truth at all, has now resulted in none of those kinds of people coming into my space, because that is not the magnetic frequency that I'm emitting anymore. So I don't have to betray myself anymore. I do not have to attract betrayal into my life. I trust that I will show up for my inner child, my adult self, my adolescent self, whatever that may be at whatever time. So there is no necessity for me to attract that into my space, because as far as I'm concerned, I have mastered so many aspects of those parts of myself, and it's been years of working into it. So being brutally honest with yourself is probably the most valuable gift you can be to yourself. Don't be scared to admit to yourself where you are, you know, actually just, as I said, betraying yourself, not showing up for yourself, making empty promises for yourself, you know, always saying, I'm going to do this for myself, I'm going to do that for myself, and you never do it. So if you never do it for yourself, don't expect the outside world to do it for you. The outside world is just going to give you more of what's going on in the inside world. And that is the main theme of us breaking out of these codependent, counterdependent spaces and building ourselves into that authentic space where we can stand independently, because the independence is not there because we want to be alone, because we don't want to be hurt. We don't want to be hurt again. We're standing there because we have found our authenticity, which means then we can step into these interdependent relationships where we come together as global communities of like-minded and like-hearted people who are wanting the same thing. And we need these interdependent communities and connections and groups. And, you know, it doesn't mean to say that you've got to move in with someone. You can be authentic and live on your own and still be interdependent. So I think it's very important people also understand that interdependency doesn't mean to say that you've got to go and live in a commune or a community or something like that. If you are absolutely happy on your own and there is nothing hiding from you, then by all means, knock yourself out. No one's telling you you have to go and share your space with anyone else then. But just be brutally, brutally honest with yourself. Denial is lying to yourself, and the only person that's paying the price at the end of the day is you. So there's so much more that I would love to share here, Faith, in terms of, you know, how it is that we break out of these things. And we had so many people respond to the show, and we had a lady from Western Australia that also sent in an amazing message, which we haven't had time to get to yet. Faith, would you like to just briefly talk about what Erin, the email that Erin sent in terms of her process of codependency and counterdependency, to share that with our listeners as we wrap up the show?
Well, I think it was so generous of her to send her story, and we're about out of time, so I beg your pardon, but with the brevity of which I'm going to share this. But she made a major move from the United States to Australia to be with her partner, and they were married. And with a great deal of work and effort, the marriage ended, and very sadly and not very well. And it's left her very alone, very far from home, and hasn't been able to come back home and to do the things that she'd like to do. And she had the reflection and the awareness of now, you know, the codependency and having to really, as you mentioned earlier, really allow herself to be helped by others as she was moving from that relationship, and the peace that she's now finding as she's being more of her authentic self. I beg your pardon that I'm making that very simple, but it's so important to understand before we make commitments to any relationships, especially with major changes like that, to really know who we are and what are we expecting out of that relationship. And, you know, obviously it was a beautiful spiritual growth opportunity for her, and it's not a bad thing. And we really need to be aware that there is no good or bad. There just is. We came to experience everything here in all of its glory, as our plan is. It's and to not judge it, and to really see what we learned about ourselves in such a major decision like that. My hat goes out, goes off to her, and my heart goes out to her, because you're messing with so much that's your foundation in life. Going through something like that, it could really be something that you don't recover from easily or well. And I'm very moved by what she shared and the space that she's now finding herself in wonderful recovery and in her and being in the now and recognizing that she'll see a lot of change as a result of that. I know there's a lot of there's some construction going on in the background of your home. If people are wondering what some of the noise is, but, is there anything you'd like to add to that? Because I feel bad that I oversimplified it.
Look, you know, as far as I'm concerned, everything that we go through, like we said, everything has a purpose, and you know, a big step like Erin took is huge. But I really admire the fact that, you know, Erin was able to, you know, extract all of the gifts and all of the important lessons that came out of that journey. And, you know, Erin herself is just, you know, an incredible soul in herself. And the spiritual growth that she's gone through has been absolutely phenomenal as a result. So I think at the end of the day, Faith, for all of us, we're out of time, so I want to just quickly wrap this up, is that all of us at some point in our life has experienced codependency and a certain amount of counterdependency, maybe more the codependence than the counterdependence. But the most important thing is that we become more self-aware, that we are honest with ourselves regarding where we are at, rather than feeding the process of denial. And when we become honest with ourselves, this is when the journey to independence can truly manifest, bearing in mind that the independence is the authentic self. And also then making sure that we're not using the phrase, oh, I am being my authentic self, as an excuse for undesirable behavior or narcissistic behavior or codependent or counterdependent behavior. So it always requires brutal honesty, absolute truth, and very often it is to admit this to ourselves is the hardest thing to do. And when you can admit all of your shortcomings to yourself, then your most empowering journey of authenticity has begun. And that I'm saying from experience. And I'm sure Faith, you can agree with us there. So
thank you
everyone for listening into our show today. Thank you for the amazing response we had to it. The questions that were written in for Sean, our sincerest apologies if we didn't get to all the questions. Seems like even 90 minutes isn't enough to get to all of this. Please keep the questions coming in. Please keep the suggestions for more topics to come in. You can email Faith on Faith, please give us your email address so I can make sure it's correct.
Yes, my email is faith@faithparent.net, FAITHPARENT, like your mom is your parent.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Faith. And please feel free to also leave comments at the on our Facebook page where the event is advertised. We also appreciate comments on our Palace of Peace page and on wherever it is that you find our show being advertised. And encourage your friends and other people to listen in as well. Call in if you need to, but just keep the energy flowing so that we can provide what it is that you out there really need from us. So thank you very much to all of you for tuning in. Thank you, Faith, for being here with Sean and I today. I really appreciate your input and being here with us.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed this part one and part two of this series. It was wonderful.
Great. Thank you very much, Faith. Thank you, listeners. Have a wonderful, wonderful week until next time. And as we say, keep the suggestions rolling in. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Faith. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.